to The Third Degree. I'm Jessica Minchell.
And I'm Tessa Dardell. Last month, we travelled to Mpantwe, Alice Springs, for the Defending Indigenous Rights, Land, Law and Culture Gathering.
This week, you'll hear the third in our series of reports on issues affecting communities in the Northern Territory, with a continued focus today on uranium. Here is part two of Radioactive Country.
I'm Raylene Silverton of West Waterhouse, Out Station, near Hermansburg. I would like to talk about Angela Pamela. That's in our country, Orana country. We like to keep our country. We like to keep our country like it is, not digging or damaging. And it's a big place for us. Our fathers got a lot of sacred sites everywhere here. Us women, we can't say about it. So we just say we don't want mining in this country. That's all I can say.
Trying to hold on every chance I get. I know sometimes that I seem to forget, and I hear your voice, don't give up yet. So I don't, and I try my best to release this pain deep inside my chest. Oh no, please don't let me go next. Please, Lord, don't let my soul to rest. And I search these streets in the hope that I find a better version of myself. And I smell defeat in the air. Sometimes I wish I was someone else. It's like my heart versus my soul versus my head. I heard your voice, is what it said.
Last week, we heard from Gillian Marsh, Adnamutna woman from the Flinders Ranges, whose family has spent decades fighting the exploration, mining and health effects of toxic uranium on their country. We also heard from Diane Stokes, Muckaty Land Trust member and Yuppie Yuppie elder, who lives every day with the threat of radioactive waste being dumped right on her doorstep.
Today, we continue the focus on uranium, but the setting is Alice Springs. Mitch, who you heard in episode one of this series, is an Aranda Luritja woman, artist, author and poet. She is speaking here at the Breaking the Nuclear Chain Forum, chaired and introduced by Natalie Worsley from the Arid's Lands Environment Centre. And please be aware that there is a language warning on parts of the next 20 minutes.
And I met Mitch when she was camped out on the corner of the Stuart Highway and the Tanami Highway with a protest camp about the nuclear waste dump, waving down everybody passing by to tell them about it. And she was camped out there for months with her daughters. Nikki's here. Yeah, she's definitely continued to inspire people through her art, through her poetry, through her speaking. And we also went across to the United States at the beginning of last year to meet with people from Nigeria, from France, and from the United States affected by the uranium industry and make those international networks and connections. So please welcome Mitch.
Good evening. I did sit out at the terminal for a long time. I too. It was like everybody else. I was sitting in my housing commission house listening to Karma Radio. It was a deadly announcement. Hart's Range and Mount Everard would be put on the nuclear waste dump list. And I kind of remembered back to being a kid at school doing science. We could play with mercury, we could play with everything else in the science lab. I was never allowed to play with uranium. And part of my growing up was I didn't want to have anything to do with politics that had been drummed into my head from different marches in town. I didn't want nothing to do with anything, and I just wanted to cruise on and have a happy little life. Well, I tried that. But after getting educated and going to universities, I kind of figured out with that education and a big mouth and a fair skin, I have to live up to them expectations of being a loud-mouthed half-caste in this country. So me and my kids did start up a protest camp. We sat on the highway because the number one concern for me was that our families were driving in on the only road into this town and they still didn't hear the news reports and no politician ran out bush to say that they were going to put a nuclear waste dump on our country. One of the funny things about that was the people sitting in the defence bases there at Mount Everard and Hart's Range also didn't know and heard it on the radio as well. So we kind of figured out there's one security guard, two defence bases, and he's in charge and he dropped some star pickets off for me. And I was kind of thinking like, well, what am I going to do? I run back home, and the whole reason I'm able to be here is because I have permission from my lawmen. And you've heard people talking about our elders and things like that. My lawmen are the ones that I answer to. They're the ones that said that I could go away and talk for country because they needed to sit on their communities. My family's country out this way, why it's called Hart's Range Defence Base is because there's a police station 50 k's down the road called Hart's Range. And we kind of scratched our head and asked ourselves, how did these people come up with these sites? Did they close their eyes and throw three darts at a map? No, they thought about it. So don't you ever believe what the government does and what they do has come from ignorance. We are the most researched people in the world. Our museums are full of all of our knowledge that we are not allowed to access. So when these mobs sitting up in Canberra, they know full well what they're doing to our people. So my family, who own a whole cattle station there, who run it, and I don't care if you're vegetarian or not, my families get up every day, they saddle a horse, they follow them cattle's asses from boar to boar so they can make a living, so they can create jobs on that station. And a stone's throw away, they're going to put a temporary nuclear waste dump. In the consultation to this, we had a meeting at the casino where all the bigwigs came in their flash suits and they came and spoke to everybody about the nuclear waste proposal for the Northern Territory and how it would be a great thing because we're helping Australia. And I don't want to swear, but I sometimes do. So we sat in that meeting at the casino and came up. They didn't know anything about our country, how to get out to these sites that they had chosen. They told us in that meeting with the best confidence and their chests puffed out that we would get a bitumen road. That's the, one of the benefits we would have for a nuclear waste dump on our country. So, excuse me, sir. Obviously you don't know anything. There's a bitumen road right up to that place. They didn't laugh. That was the only consultation they did in Alice Springs. The next meeting I have is out on country on Mount Everard side. They came with their flash posters and their little plastic coke bottle with their uranium in it. And they told us how safe this stuff was. And if we don't dig it up and we don't sell it overseas, then people won't have power. I sat behind all my nanas and I cheeky way translate. Man, they talking bullshit. If this was safe, they would be digging it up in Canberra, they'd be digging it up in Sydney, and they'd be digging it where them voters are. But colour is not safe. So they went on a little bit further. Well, we have to have the nuclear waste dump temporary facility above ground, and it will contain hospital waste. Because apparently, all the radiated hospital waste is sitting in the car parks in every hospital around Australia. So somehow, it's safe sitting in the car park outside the hospital, but it's not safe enough for you mob to live with. So they're going to put that in 44-gallon drums, and they're going to put it underground, 8 metres, and they're going to cover it over with 8 metres of dirt, and it's safe, because it's only hospital gloves and, you know, stuff for x-rays and stuff like that. So I translate to my family, why are they talking bullshit again? You know them old saucepans we use that go rusty and we chuck away? You know them old 44s get rusty. And how can you see 44 underground? What about when that water comes through? How are they going to measure that water underground? Because all our water in the Northern Territory comes from under the ground. So how does it get from the air to the top layer of the soil to go down into that basin? Somehow it's going to say, oh, hospital waste must go around. We're questioning them. All right, we're in a state of siege at the moment. At that time, 9/11, you know, terrorists are going to come in, they're going to bomb us, they're going to hurt us. Watch out for the Muslims. Watch out for you terrorists, technically, people. So have you thought about security? Oh, no. We'll have to get a security guard then. How are you going to measure that water? You know when it rains and it goes past them 44s? How are you going to measure that? Oh, we'll put gravel down, then we'll put the 44s, then we'll put the dirt on, and we'll have a little pipe there, and we'll come and measure it. Oh, that's really interesting. Family, let me translate. They're talking bullshit. Man in Sydney, who's got all the scientific knowledge, is going to fly here to Alice Springs, jump in a Toyota, run out, check the water, and tell us it's at acceptable human levels. Bullshit. Me and my dad is giggle, giggle, giggle. We get the uranium in the coke bottle. Here it is. Here, take it.
Come on. It's safe. Take it, take it. Hand it all around. It's safe. Wow, we're not touching that poison. That's rubbish. Number one, Coca-Cola is rubbish to our people. We don't like Coca-Cola. That's bullshit. Number two, you put uranium in a Coke bottle, you travel around with it, that radiation going to radiate you. So don't hand us poison because we don't want to touch it. Well, technically, bananas have radiation. We ate that box of bananas 10 fucking minutes ago. We all radiated now, technically, by their terms. The light bulb has radiation. So you mob are getting natural radiation already. It won't hurt you. Oh, excuse me, nanas. Why, you can't talk up. You get too cheeky with them mob. They frighten for you. Well, you know me, I've got a big mouth. Excuse me. So we've got natural radiation. And when we talk about that natural radiation, like we talk for Angela Pamela, that's poison country. We don't have Aboriginal words to put radiation, plutonium, all the daughter gases that come off it, all the bullshit that comes around it. We've got no way of interpreting that back into our culture and our language. The mining company are very well aware of this. It's not poison. This is not poison.
It's safe.
It's safe, it's green. Oh, all right then. So we listen, we let them go away. We talked about how much bullshit was talked that day, how much bullshit and bullshit and more bullshit. Families all went away. We're not having that stuff on our country. You gotta go, girl, you gotta go and talk to them all. I don't wanna talk to the voters down south. I don't like their cities. I'm sick of saying the same thing. And each and every one of them are allowed to vote on what happens to us here in the Territory because you mob have the numbers. No, girl, you'll be right, don't worry. So for 5 years, I travelled this country. For 5 years, I have been begging for a future. And that's what I'm doing. And I haven't got time to make it fluffy. I am begging not only for my future, not only for my children's future, but my unborn grandchildren's. We don't own the land. We do not own it. That is something that you guys brought over and said, well, sorry, technically you don't own that land. It was like colour, we didn't own it in the first place. We're looking after it for our grandchildren. So that's what we do. We leave our kids here and we travel thousands of kilometres and stay in not-so-flash hotels. We don't know 5-star hotels. We pass them in our little bus with our little stickers. All right, so don't think that we're going away having a holiday. We've got to go to every town hall. We've got to go and talk to all these people about it. And the scary thing about it is Australia has been brainwashed so badly that it is okay to mine and dump uranium in the heart of Australia. That's what this country is called. Heart of Australia, the soul of this country, the majestic Uluru. All of them bullshit words that you might come up with to say how lovely it is to visit this country. Well, we ain't moving. We will die from radiation sickness. All right, she's gone. There. Like these mob have. And we will stay on that country. Because when these mob were getting mined and when these mob were getting bombed, it came over our lands. It went over Adelaide. It went over as far as Longreach. This country knows and is very well aware that there are a certain number of kills, and I mean kills, that are allowed to happen in this country in order for this country to prosper. Money is not a dreaming. And what is happening to our country, there is no story. We have no story for the size of mines that is going on in these people's country. But I have no choice. On my grandmother's side, from Lurija's side, we meet up with the Arabunna side. We can travel through that land. We can hunt with these people's permission through that land down to the coast. We have no choice but to wake up with this every day of our life. And it's killing us. And it's unacceptable. And as you would say, it's un-Australian. But the sad indictment about this country is you're not educated properly. You're easily manipulated, and come election time, you listen to bullshit and you vote for bullshit. And we're the ones who have to live in the bullshit. Because when I think of a 5-year plan, I think of me taking up a hospital bed in Alice Springs, dying from cancer. When I think of a 5-year plan, I hope that I have given my kids enough strength and will that they can carry on. So we're talking closing the gap when Rudd talks them words. Closing the gap is not going to bring these people back. The babies, the young children, the old people that technically didn't die from radiation poisoning on their lands. And the beautiful thing about this small island continent that we live on is the dust storms and the rains. You might not have seen TV in a couple of days, but the rain came from Broome. It came directly across Western Australia, through Central Australia, is now heading to Victoria, and now heading to Queensland. So whatever you dig up in this country, not only will it seep into your water tables, as you know with the Murray River and all of that, it is going to come in the air. And it has been scientifically proven and acknowledged and well known amongst our people. The whole reason why New Zealand is a nuclear-free couple of little islands sitting down there is because when the soil leaves from Central Australia,
it makes their snow peaks pink. And as we know in Antarctica, they have just proved that there is uranium from these ladies' country that has travelled as far as Antarctica, and they can count it down through the layers. And I can guarantee you, uranium is not racist. It don't care where you live, it doesn't care how much you earn, and when you go crying to the government that all them uranium mines might have given you cancer, the government's going to turn around and say, science doesn't prove that. Science says this. Now, we've got communities at Yundamu that's got a gold mine there, and their water and several bores around Yundamu and Papunya have acceptable human levels of radiation. It is so great out there, they can't have a dialysis machine at Papunya, because if they use their own water, people will get sicker than if they had dialysis machines. So one of the things that's going to happen in the next 20 years is they're going to dig up this uranium over my dead body, and they will do that. And they will sell it overseas. And now that Yucca Mountain's been closed, we've got a perfect environment for a worldwide nuclear waste dump. So when you mob sitting down on the coastline, you just remember, it is illegal to take uranium out of any port in Australia except for Darwin. So when they're taking the fuel rods from your Lucas Heights over to France and Scotland, they do it in the middle of the night because your troublemakers will catch on and try and stop them. But also it is illegal for them to take it out of Botany Bay. It is illegal. Now they're going to transport that stuff up here. So they're going through your country, they're going through Cookat country, and they're going to go up to Diane's country through my country to dump this stuff. We need one rain to put our highways out. We need the second rain to put our railways out. And God help you if you're on that train and a truck smashes into you, or it derails because the heat has heated up the lines and buckled them. We have more accidents on our roads and more train accidents on our train tracks than anywhere else in Australia. But it's safe to move uranium up there. So I'll leave it in UMOF's hands, because when you go and vote this year, you're voting whether Diane's has the right to live, whether her grandchildren have the right to live, whether every one of these people, and myself, and yourself as well, if we have the right to live without uranium. That's your vote this year.
No nuclear highway.
Exactly. And what can you do? You can try like us. We went to the bishops' office in Perth. I don't mean to be disrespectful against white women in politics, but that bitch said that a nuclear waste dump will be put next to far from any form of civilization. So we knew she hadn't come and seen these spots, because those people working in the defence space aren't us, they're white people. They sit in a motel, other side, just over here. So Julie Bishop couldn't even be bothered to come here. And then when these mocks spoke up, the coppers came in and bashed the crap out of them. So then we go off to Martin Ferguson, because he's the new guru for uranium. Yeah. Not once has that man spoken to us. Not once has that man answered an email. Not once has that man answered a letter. Not once has that man come to this country and gone out and heard our voices. So we go to his office and we protest at his office in Batman of all places. So what we got Martin Ferguson, he's running around over in China and Japan and that. He's trying to sell our uranium, he's trying to flog it all off, push a waste dump on us, but can't be bothered talking with the Indigenous people because he don't know our language. He don't know where we are. We have offered that we will pay for these people to come here, we will put them in a car, we'll give them a swag,
and we'll take them out to country. Still they will not talk to us. And to put Diane Mob through this is unspeakable. He wouldn't do it to his mother, he wouldn't do it to his wife, he wouldn't do it to his daughter. And one of the comfortable things about being on that coastline is you mob can pick this issue up today and you can put it down tomorrow. But we've got to get up every day of our life. And until all that stuff goes through Parliament and everything goes through and everybody's happy that the little Westminster system's right now, you're actually taking our life. And I would rather you come and shoot me face to face than allow me, my children and my unborn grandchildren to die a slow, miserable death in cancer, because I'm going to take up your hospital bed and I'm going to be pissed off and I'm going to be angry and I'm going to be nasty and I'm going to make sure you mob know about it. So if you think there's angry Aboriginals out there, you wait until I'm dying for cancer, because I'm coming down there to die on you mob's bed. Now, to bring it back, my number one reason for why I needed to stand up for this was because my daughter is buried on my country, 11 kilometres away from where they wanted to put a nuclear waste dump. And me, as a university-educated black fella, couldn't understand how I'm going to drive past a waste dump in order to put flowers on my daughter's grave. Then I started thinking, what about my family? Who's going to put flowers on their grave? Who's going to be the ones taking care of our family and reliving their memories and carrying on their stories? And I don't think that's fair. And I don't care how harsh this may sound, but if a white woman doesn't have to go past a nuclear reactor or a waste dump in order to put flowers on their child's grave, why do I have to? Why?
That was Mitch, an Aranda Luritja woman, artist, author and poet, speaking candidly about her need to fight the nuclear industry.
And that concludes our third report in our series on the Defending Indigenous Rights Land, Law and Culture Gathering, which was held in Mumpantway, Alice Springs on the 6th to the 9th of July. To listen to this again or to any earlier episodes in the series, head to climateradio.blogspot.com or follow the links through the program grid at 2ser.com. I'm Jessica Minchell.
And I'm Tessa Dowdell. You've been listening to The Third Degree on 2SER. Tune in again this time next week. But for now, keep listening, because coming up next is Wendy Collis with The Daily Show. Bye-bye. Yeah.